an ebullient and tough-sounding president said goodbye to his first term yesterday in a White House East Room filled with reporters.
It's been a busy and productive 4 years, and I expect the same for the next 4 years. I intend to carry out the agenda that I campaigned on.
The president might have muttered farewell and good riddance to the divisions and tensions of his first term as well, but he will be carrying some of the term one fights into the next 4 years. Less than 1 week before the inauguration, our partners at WGBH in Boston will broadcast a new Frontline film, Inside Obama's Presidency, a close look at the players, the battles, and the surprises from the Obama first term. Michael Kirk is the writer, producer, and director of Inside Obama's Presidency. Michael, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Thank you.
Let's just start by saying, what has this window on the Obama administration really given you as an overall insight into this president and into the direction, really, of the American government over the last 4 years and moving forward?
Well, I think an awful lot, more words have been written about this guy than almost anybody in history. So the film became, as we were putting it together, based on our reporting of the last 4 years and the last few months, it became a sort of behind closed doors vivid history of what had happened. But it's also in some ways a primer on, I think, what those decisions that he made will tell us about what's going to happen in at least the near future of his second term.
In many ways, the narrative here in this film is just about how early the divisions in the government, in Congress, and even within the administration to some extent manifested themselves. Tell that story.
Well, he starts out really believing that he was going to be able to heal some of the perniciousness in the politics of Washington. He comes to town with a big stimulus package that he knows the economy needs, and he knows that he thinks it's an opportunity to work together with the Republicans. What he does not know, and what we tell, the story we tell tonight, is that the Republicans have met on the very night of his inauguration at a steakhouse in downtown Washington, all the big names except for John Boehner. And they have a 3-hour sort of drinking, steak-eating, manly get-together and come up with a plan to just say no to almost everything he does. That manifests itself in the very first week of his presidency, and from then on, it's just downhill.
And even though there's an economic crisis and an $800 billion stimulus plan is brought to bear on that crisis, listen to the sense of divisions. We begin with the voice of Rahm Emanuel, then chief of staff. Listen.
Before he showed up, Eric Cantor sent out an email. Said, "We're not that I'm voting against it." Eric Cantor's emails were against this.
Their leadership told the members, "We're not for any of it, no matter what it is. No. Just say no."
Now you've got that sinister soundtrack there, which is an indication of things to come.
Yeah, it sure is. From the stimulus failure, of course, the stimulus is passed, but not a single Republican votes for it. We then go to health care reform, which, again, is just a slog for him. It bogged down in Congress. It dragged on, as we all remember, through the summer of 2009 and the fall of 2009, finally happening sometime in March of one full year later. Add to that what goes on with the bankers, and you really get a picture of a president who goes into the midterm elections vulnerable, himself unhappy, and he gets just, as he says, a shellacking from the Republicans.
And in many ways, it was an I told you so for Rahm Emanuel, who predicted that health care would be a divisive issue. It would not be something that people would come together on. Here's another example of just those kinds of divided voices on health care.
And McConnell was saying, "Don't agree to anything, don't agree to anything, keep me informed, but keep talking."
The Republicans were very clever in what they did. They pretended that they were interested in this. I call it the dance of the seven veils. I'm going to be there, and then I'm not, and then I'm going to be there, and I'm not. Now you see it, now you don't. It was all an illusion.
Nancy Pelosi there, who had a very frustrated time as Speaker, at least for the first 2 years before the Republicans gained their majority. How did things change? What was the turning point when the Republicans really were ascendant in the midterms?
87 new Republicans. I think it's the largest Republican freshman class in the history of the House of Representatives come in. A lot of them fueled by the anger and frustration of Americans who voted for Tea Party candidates and the growth of that movement. The effect of it was that they were kind of glommed onto by Eric Cantor, Paul Ryan and Eric McCarthy, the so-called young guns, they are instructed to vote no on some arcane piece of legislation called the debt ceiling, which we will then hear a lot about in the second 2 years of the Obama first term. And it's at that moment that it is a full-on one-on-one war between the Barack Obama White House and the Republican freshman in the House of Representatives.
We're talking with Michael Kirk, frontline producer. His film, Inside Obama's Presidency, is an in-depth look at the first term as we get ready for the second Obama term. Let's leave you with a point that really, I think, tends to get lost in some of the political infighting often in coverage of this administration, and that is that in foreign policy, and in particularly military terms, the president made a conscious decision to really conduct foreign policy and military policy by remote control using some extraordinary technology that he had available to him perhaps more than at any time in U.S. history.
Yes, he decides. He makes a decision that, yes, we'll pull out of Iraq, but that the war against al-Qaeda will be waged by drone. And death by drone becomes his sort of signature foreign policy in the sense of national security, really, action. And it is quite controversial to many of his liberal supporters and progressive supporters who are surprised, as one person in our film says, to discover that the winner of the Nobel Peace Prize has his own kill list.
Let's listen to that.
The fact that Barack Obama would be the guy that leads America into this world of predator drones and Navy SEALs and cyber warfare and sort of the, you know, the dark arts of the special forces and the CIA, and that would be a major part of his foreign policy, I don't think anyone would have predicted that.
And that will be a continuity feature of the second term. Certainly that piece of the foreign policy and military approach of Obama will be signature in the next 4 years.
It promises to get a lot of direct attention. It'll be interesting with Chuck Hagel over at the if he makes it through the confirmation process over at the Defense Department to see what happens in that entire area. Not a lot of reporters are paying attention to that, but it's about to come onto our radar in a very big way.
Well, the new Frontline documentary, Inside Obama's Presidency, was produced by our partner at WGBH. It airs tonight on PBS. Check your local listings. We've been speaking with the producer of that film, Michael Kirk. Thanks so much.
Thanks, John.
Michael Kirk, producer, director, and writer of Inside Obama's Presidency.